Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, we all know who Rob is, so I don't have to do a long introduction. But there's one thing I have to say, I need to say. And, you know, I've been around a lot of people that are prophetic, you know, and, you know, just in, you know, just being in ministry, you always run into people. And one thing that I've always really appreciated about Rob is that it's not just about getting the word, you know. I think we talked about this a long time. There's some people, you know, God has gifted so many people in the body of Christ. And there's some people, they get a word of knowledge or something, and that's it. You know, they give you the word, see you later, have a nice day, have a nice life, you know. But one thing that Rob does, and he teaches old Tina to do, is they actually minister. You know, today we had lunch with May and her family and stuff, and we're able to see, you know, the gift coming alongside God's heart and ministry. You know, and they were able to minister to May and Joy's mother, and it was such a beautiful time. You know, and so when during the course of this, right, it's not just about the gift, right? It's what God will take the gift, right, and He'll use it to minister to people. And so you can have a prophetic gift, you can have gifts of administration. I mean, whatever it is, right? They're all beautiful in God's eyes, and whatever He gives to us, we use it to minister to people and things. And that's one thing I've always really appreciated about Rob. Whatever God gives him, you know, it's not, you know, some people it's just for the word, right? I'm gonna increase my gift. You know, I gotta work on my gift, you know, and again and again and stuff. But he actually used that to really minister to people, and that's why I've always liked him. And he's always, you know, I let him minister to me. I'm not let him, you know, it's a privilege, but you know, so you know, he's prayed for my mother and my wife. I mean, I just bring people to him to pray because I know that it's not just the word or the gift, but it's ministry. Right, I know they're going to feel God and experience God, and God's going to breathe life into them and transform them and change them in some way. They could really grow, you know, and to really be the people that God wants them to be. Amen? And so with that, let's welcome Rob to the front. Huh?
Thank you, Sam. That was really honoring and humbling and really gave me something I have to live up to now. Do you love Jesus? Maybe we should have an altar call for the rest of us. Do you love Jesus? Do you ever wonder why, Pastor, sometimes, this isn't in the notes, so good luck, Annie, I'm already not following the notes. Do you ever wonder why pastors want to have response? Because if you can't say, I love Jesus with confidence and authority sitting in here with a whole bunch of other people who love Jesus, there is no way you're going to do it at work tomorrow or next week. It's not going to happen. There's no way you're going to share with somebody in the grocery store, you're going to share with someone in your apartment complex if you can't do it here. It has to start here. Do you love Jesus? What would happen if we did that when you walked into work on Monday? Several people are going, oh my God, I don't know. An important part of when we travel is that we bring people with us. And it isn't just so that they get a vacation in nice places. We do put them to work. But also, we're going to have them share. Each night, a Friday and Saturday of both weeks, we're going to have Sang and Gloria, who are with us, share part of their testimony. Because oftentimes, a speaker comes in, they go, oh yeah, he's supposed to know what to do with it. But like I told you on Saturday afternoon, you all are going to do this. You're going to hear from God. You're going to be able to minister to other people. It's going to happen to you. But hearing it from other people who aren't maybe the guest speaker, we trust it was really going to encourage you, and we found it's helped people because maybe they're a little bit more relatable to you. That's one of the things I've probably felt most sad about getting the title of pastor, is now people, you know, of course you're going to do all this stuff. You're pastor. You're supposed to do it. I always loved it before when I could go in and say, well, I'm an accountant, but I'm still teaching. I'm teaching exactly the same kind of stuff I did when I was an accountant, but then they really didn't expect anything like this. Well, we're really privileged to have with us two just awesome women from our church, and they've just grown in their ministry to the Holy Spirit. And tonight I've asked Gloria to come and share a little bit about how she has learned how to hear from God and minister to God and her journey as she has learned how to do this. So, Gloria, come up and share.
Um,
Hi, my name is Gloria, and for I think there were a few people here that weren't here last night. Just a little background about myself. I'm 33 years old. I'm a policy advisor for the government, and I've been going to Axe Church for the past 8 years, and it's been quite the ride. It's been an amazing experience. I'm not going to go too much into my past, way back into my past, but basically my background is I grew up in a Presbyterian Christian home. And I accepted Christ at a very young age, and then I recommitted again when I was in high school at a retreat. And I think I've come from a prayerful family, intercessors, in you know my grandmother and all of that stuff. And so I grew up really praying a lot. But it wasn't until 8 years ago that I understood a different dynamic of prayer. Like I'd pray out my heart to God, but never. It was one half of the equation, but the other half is. You hear from God and you pray what's on his heart. And I never knew that. So I'd pray, and if he answered the prayers, I was, yeah, amen, he answered. And if he didn't, I go, well, I don't know why he didn't. Maybe it's his not his will or, you know. And in a lot of ways, it seemed like he was kind of close, but then still kind of mysterious and far away at the same time. But 8 years ago, I think humans were all kind of similar in the sense that we really get close to God when we're in crisis or when you're in a really desperate spot. So my 20s, I'm glad I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm really happy in my 30s, and it seems like as time goes by, I just keep growing in the Lord, and I get happier and happier just getting filled with God's presence. But I think when you're in your 20s, it's a really key period where you're making a lot of really important decisions that are really going to affect your life down the road. We're always making a lot of decisions, but for some reason, there came a point in my life when I had to make a lot of decisions all at the same time. And at the same time, I needed a lot of inner healing issues. I had a really low self-esteem and very performance-oriented, you know, feeling like I've got to achieve this, I've got to achieve that. So there, you know, decisions about where do I go to grad school? You know, I had an opportunity to go to Boston. Do I go to Boston or do I stay in Toronto? And then career. Where does God want me to go? What vocation does he have for me? Relationships. Is this person the one or not? Or what are the godly female relationships that God is calling me into? And then when I got really pumped into God, I was like, I want to know what God's calling is for me. I want to know my destiny. I want to know what my ministry is. And out of that, there was such a stressful churning in my, and I didn't have any rest. My mind was just spinning, my heart, my spirit, and I just knew I had to cry out to God because I needed answers, and I wasn't equipped to know how to hear his voice, and I was afraid to take a step because I was so paralyzed in fear that if I made the wrong decision that I would be set off course for the rest of my life. And now I look back and I realize, you know what, I took myself far too seriously because God is bigger than that, and he takes care of all the rest. So around 8 years ago, there was a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit in around the world, but thankfully I was in Toronto at the time, and there was something called the Toronto Blessing, and a lot of my friends and family, my sister in particular, because my sister and I are best friends, were really impacted by that, and I was really kind of negative about the whole thing. You know, I thought, oh, these weird charismatic people, I'm a very, you know, like my theology, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I really noticed, you know what, these are my friends, have a lot of credibility, and I saw God doing something really amazing in them. I heard them, when we would get together and pray, they would be very specific about what was on God's heart. I would go to conferences and I would hear people prophesying over God's purpose and destiny for the city. And it burst in me such a hope that God is alive and he loves to speak to his children. And I hung out with some friends, you know, like in our intercessor group, get such specific words from God. Yeah, I had a dream and it was a red door and the number was 95 and I knew that that's the home. I'm kind of exaggerating, but really, really specific. And I go, you know, God, how come I don't hear from you in that way? And so I really, really pressed into God. Did a lot of different courses, like I know some of you are doing Experiencing God, and that was really foundational in how to hear from God. And then, of course, Rob and Mary came up 4 or 5 years ago and really opened up a different realm in terms of teaching on hearing from God. But basically, I think God used my struggles, and he delayed answering a lot of my prayers because he had a purpose of training me. He said, I want you to learn how to hear my voice, not to rely on other people to pray for you, for the confirmation and the direction, but that you can come to me directly, and I will give you what you need to move forward. And some key things that I learned along the way, I think I'm a pretty stubborn person, and one time I didn't realize if I really needed a word from God about, am I supposed to go to LA or not? I had a job offer, and I went up to Mary, and I was so desperate. I want a word from the Lord, and I, you know, and I'd go up to people and say, you know, I'd want a word from the Lord. Am I supposed to go here or not? And every word I would get is, we just get a sense that God just really loves you, and I was like, No. This is not the word I want. I want a word about what I'm supposed to do. What is my destiny? La, la, la. And he's like, and God is really working on your character. And he just wants you to draw close to him. And so I said, okay, God must be telling me something. Because everyone who comes to pray for me, they don't say what I want them to say. They say what God wants to say. And obviously, it's when you're pressing in to hear God's voice, the key is that you don't pass the relationship with God to get to the answer, because it's very easy to get obsessed with hearing what you want to hear for a specific purpose. And that can become an idol and an obsession. And I think what God was teaching me is, don't bypass me, because it's me that you're coming for. It's a relationship that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in telling you what you want to hear right now, but it's, I'm working on your heart. And when you draw close to me, then the rest will happen. And the second thing I learned was me being a really performance striver, really learning to just rest, and that you don't have to strive to hear his voice, because he'll tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. And there's such a release and a peace in that, that you don't have to struggle and say, God, I need to hear your voice right now. I've got a really big decision. And just, you know what? His timing is weird. In my life, it's always been like really off. It's on for him, but in my perspective, it feels like it, you know. But you know, God's ways are not our ways, and you just have to trust. And in the end, his timing is always right. And when I look back, I'm so glad that I didn't hear the stuff I wanted to hear at the time, because I was not ready for what he had to say to me. And so just, you know, don't pass the relationship, and he'll tell you what you need to know, and just to be rest assured. And as long as you have the heart to really press into God, he will honor that. Some experiences of how I've learned to hear from him. Sometimes it's a picture. You get an impression in your mind. And when you're ministering to people, sometimes you don't know what you're going to say, but you get a general picture, and you open your mouth, and the Holy Spirit gives you words. And it's different for everyone. I think for me, I'm going to wrap this up really quickly. The past few months, I've really entered into a different realm in terms of my relationship with Jesus, and he's really revealed himself to me in a new way. And a lot of times, what I'd like to say about the prophetic is that it's always grounded in the Word. And I know a lot of people who are new to this, they're thinking, woo, you know, what is this? But you always test whatever you receive, and it's always based in the Word. So I had a really awesome quiet time one time, and I just really sensed Jesus was saying, Gloria, I want you to enter into a new level of intimacy, and I want you to look in my face. And I couldn't look in his face, because deep down there was a real shame about an issue of personal sin that I had had. And I thought that I had really released that, and I knew that God had forgiven me, and I knew it in my mind, but I guess it didn't really sink into my heart. And through that quiet time, the experience, he just cleansed me. He just washed me clean. And by the end, it was an awesome quiet time. It was like 2 hours, but I'm not normally a 2 hours quiet person. But by the end, I was so overwhelmed, and I was able to see his face. I was able to look up, and just the release from the shame and feeling so wonderful in his presence. But you know what? The rational side said, was that just my own experience of imagining that picture and that whole thing? And I said, God, I want a confirmation. And he speaks to me now so much through scripture. And he said, Gloria, go to Psalm 33. And so, Psalm 32, I had never read it before, didn't know it existed. And I came out of my quiet time, and I read Psalm 32 because he told me to turn me there. And I wanted a confirmation that what I had experienced, this release from this self-condemnation and this sin, was from him. And Psalm 32 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Can I tell you, when you get, I know for other people it may not be a big deal, but when it's personal to you and you get a confirmation through the word and you weren't looking for it and God just said, I want you to go to Psalm 32, it's a real blessing. And it takes your power and who you are as a Christian to a different level, because you're actually able to say, you know, the reality of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. And it takes on a totally different dynamic. Just to sum it up, I would say that when you're learning to hear from God, it changes your whole walk with God. It's changed our church. It changes the way we operate in the body. All the giftings that we're going to discuss next week, intercession, healing, worship, evangelism, all of that, a lot of it is grounded as hearing from God. Like if you're going to minister, if you're going to heal, you know, pray for healing over someone, a lot of times God will have different ways of doing it. Or he'll give you a word of knowledge on what you need to break over that person for that person to be healed. Or if you're going to be leading worship, you know, what's the Spirit saying about how he wants you to lead? You know, what is on the heart of the people who need to worship? Evangelism, you know, needing to know what word of knowledge do I need to be able to share with this person? That's all grounded in hearing from God. So this is, it's been revolutionary for me in changing the way who I am as a Christian and the way I operate as a Christian. So that's been my walk, and thanks for letting me share that. I hope it wasn't more than 10 minutes.
Okay, she just preached the sermon, all right? I mean, if you get something off the tape, get that. I'm serious. Y'all are just smiling, but I'm serious. That was the word of the Lord. What I'm going to share with you is a little bit of the practical stuff of how to do it. Lots of times people struggle with, well, yeah, but okay, you've been doing it for a while, and even, okay, Gloria, but you got to be on the ministry team that travels halfway around the world and all that kind of stuff, so you're still that way. What am I going to do tomorrow? And what I'm going to talk about tonight is how you do the stuff. Is that okay? I want to echo one thing that, actually several things that I'm going to say Gloria just said, and I'm really glad because we need to hear them several times. This teaching, in my opinion, is the single most impacting teaching there is once you become a Christian. Once a Christian understands that God will dialogue with them, it changes everything about what you do and how you do it. There's really no other thing that will make more of an impact in your life. Once I discovered God wasn't up there and I was trying to talk him into doing something that I thought was a good idea, and he would dialogue with me, everything was different. Turn to Matthew chapter 22, talking just a little bit about hearing from God. For those who are interested in deep theology, I hope I set that to rest last night, but I'm not a theologian. Mine is very much grounded in the real world of getting up and going to work on Monday. For those who weren't here last night, most of my life I've been in a corporate accountant, so I know what it's like to deal with, you know, the working world and all of that. And if God didn't work for me during the week, it didn't really matter quite so much what the theology was on Sunday. But I do believe that this stuff ought to work 24/7. And I look at it that way. So this stuff won't necessarily be deep, but I think that if you apply some of the stuff we're going to talk about, it will work in your life. You reach Matthew 22. I don't hear any pages turning. So Matthew 22, verse 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking here. Let's back up to verse 29. Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Now, isn't that a sad thing? Because he's talking to the church people there. Yeah. He says, you don't know scripture and you don't know the power of God. Like, where do you go from there? "At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." How many people know anything about the game of golf? Bowling bombed last night, so we'll try another sport tonight. Golf, anybody? A few people. You've seen. I never played golf in my entire life until I moved to Toronto to become pastor of a church. I did not realize that in order to be an appropriate pastor in North America, you had to know how to play golf. So I've learned how to play golf. One thing I will tell you, for those of you who don't know anything about golf, is that golfers love to talk about their game when it goes well. I've got a couple guys in my church that they love Jesus, but they're passionate about golf. God is working on them. He's moving them in the right direction. They love to talk about it. I've played with them a couple times, and they've, you know, we come in after we played 18 holes and we go and sit and get something to drink, and they can go back over every single shot, all of it. They love talking about them. Well, here's just a little story about that. There was a man who felt called to be a pastor. This is just a story, okay? So I'm not talking about like your pastor or anything like that. He felt like he was called to be a pastor. Well, the denomination that he was going to join was very strict. And one of the rules they had for pastors is that they could not play golf. And this was really hard for this man because he loved to play golf. But after he struggled for a while, he said, okay, I love Jesus more. So he put his golf bags away, went through all the ordination, became a pastor in this denomination. About a year later, he gets up one spring morning, and the weather is perfect. He goes, oh, this is so great for golf. So he kind of wrestles for a while, tries to have a quiet time, nothing works. So he goes in, gets his clubs, puts them in the trunk, drives clear across town, because of course you can't be seen doing that because he's a pastor in a denomination that doesn't let this happen. Gets out, and he's just having a good time. He's playing, the weather's perfect and all that. Up in heaven, God's watching, and Gabriel comes over and says, God, look what he's doing. He said he was giving it up to serve you. God's just watching. Gabriel says, well, are you going to do something about it? God says, just watch. Pastor gets up the next hole. About 285 yards, slightly downhill, a little bit of a dog leg, a little bit of a wind behind him. He's feeling so good, he pulls out his driver and just smacks the golf ball. For those of you who play golf, it's that time when you hit it and then it like accelerates after it comes off the golf. It's just perfect. Bounce down the fairway, rolls up on the green and into the cup. Got a hole in one. Gabriel up in heaven is saying, God, you're supposed to be like doing something about this because he's not supposed to be playing golf and then you have let this happen. God turns to Gabriel and says, who's he going to tell? Now, why is that story funny? I would suggest to you that that story is not funny if I substitute Buddha for God, or Gaia, Mother Goddess of the Earth, or Ganesh. That's not funny, and we wouldn't laugh. The reason why that's a funny story is we have the expectation and the built-in belief that God is going to interact and dialogue with us. What did our verse say? He's the God of the living, not the dead. And of course he's going to dialogue with us. So that's a funny story. Jesus is alive and he wants to talk to his kids. Any kids of Jesus here? He wants to talk to you. Not to some special pastor people or evangelist or any other thing. He wants to talk with you. I mean, what parent wouldn't want to talk to their child? We would, you know, get put in jail if we never talked to our kids. Okay, once you get teenagers, there's a few times when you don't want to talk with them. But in general, parents are going to talk to their kids. See, not only is God alive, but he desires to talk with you. Now, the reason why a lot of people, Christians, have difficulty with having a vibrant Christian walk is not because they are not sincere. They just don't know how God communicates with them. I'm certain there's a fair portion of people sitting here saying, yeah, I want that. I know it would be different if I could just hear God, if I could just have it work in my life. Well, I have some good news for you. I'm going to tell you how to do that. Again, this isn't real deep stuff. Jesus said, except you become like a child, you will not see the kingdom of God. This is not real complicated things. It may not be easy. It may require a bit of risk. It may require a little bit of coming outside of what you're comfortable with. But these things are not real complicated. You can all do it. Every child can talk with Papa. Okay. We've taught this all over the place for many years. And we've answered every kind of question. I encourage you when you go out with this, ask questions. Really, you probably can't come up with one we haven't heard before. But of all the questions, there is one question that stands out more than any other question. It's the one everybody wants to know. Any idea what that question might be? You have no questions. Okay, you're right. Let's go home. Not only are we not sure we're saved and happy about Jesus, we don't have any questions. My whole sermon's done. What do you suppose that question is? What's the question you'd like answered more than any other question? Because that's the one everybody else is asking too. What do you think? I'm going to call on somebody in a minute. No? Okay. How do you know it's God? When you get the thought, how do you know it's God? Right? That was the one you were thinking. Well, you guys laugh, but that's the one you were thinking too. That's what everybody wants. How do you know it's God? I got this, you know, thing, and Gloria shared. She goes, well, how do I know if it's God for sure? And you get these pictures, and you know, I don't know what that is or anything. How do you know it's God? I'm going to tell you. Are you, like, so excited about this? Nod or something, or I'm going to have to start over. Do you want to know how you know it's God? Thank you. You ready? Got your pens out? You don't. But that's not the end of the story. You ask me, how do you know it's God? And the answer is, you do not know. And what I mean by that is, most people, when they're beginning to develop this relationship with God, want an absolute 100% ironclad guarantee. They want Gabriel to come out of heaven bearing stone tablets that say, this is what God is saying. When they're praying, they want to come up on the screen right across here. This is God. Here's what I'm saying. Turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. I want to encourage you. If you ask me, how do you know it's God? The short answer is you don't. But that's not the end of the story. Hebrews chapter 11. I guess I better turn there, hadn't I? Although I actually know this one, that's okay. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible. Stop there. Without faith, it is impossible. I want to submit to you that there is not one thing that you're going to do in your Christian life. It doesn't matter what you feel like your gift is. It doesn't matter what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, where you want to be. Without faith, it is impossible. That includes hearing from God. Faith is the driving ingredient for every single thing you do. And if Gabriel shows up with the stone tablets, if an angel comes to your bed at night and leaves the parchment that you roll open and say, this is what God has to say, how much faith does that take? Zero. You're just reading it. Without faith, Hebrews says, it is impossible. How does faith work when it comes to hearing from God? Now, I'm getting a little older, and this may not work much longer, but did Any of you see the Indiana Jones movies? Do you remember the third one? He's looking for the Holy Grail, right? He goes through all this stuff, and he finally gets to where it is, and there's this chasm in the way. Remember this? Anybody remember this? Okay, good. See, because some of my examples, I'm getting old enough I can't use anymore because nobody's seen them or heard of them. He gets to this chasm, and he goes, oh, it's over there. And he had a riddle, and he figured out, I've got to take the first step. And if I take the step, then there's going to be a walkway across there. But all he could see was the chasm. There was no walkway. And so you remember in the movie Harrison Ford, he closes his eyes and goes, and takes the step, and the walkway comes out, and he's able to walk across and get the grail. That's what faith is like. We take the first step towards God, and he makes the rest of the linkage towards us. But we have to make the first step. Without faith, it is impossible. You're not going to get a guarantee written from heaven that you've got everything exactly right when you're hearing from God. But the verse doesn't end there. Isn't that so exciting? Look what continues. This is just so good. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And now get hold of this one. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God says, if you want to hear from me, it will require faith, but I will reward you when you're coming after me. It's a guarantee. It's in the book, right? He says, if you're trying to hear from me, if you're coming to me, I will reward you. Now, that's good news, right? You like rewards? Okay. You love rewards. Good. Because he's going to reward those who diligently seek him. If you are seeking to hear from God, you are going to hear from God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are going to hear from God. Now, doesn't that just feel good? John 10, 3 through 6. You can look it up later, but it says, my sheep know my voice. In other words, there is a recognition built into us by having the Holy Spirit in us, which is going to recognize when our Father talks to us. You're just going to know. Now, obviously, the more that you do it, the more comfortable you're going to get. If I call you up tomorrow, you're not going to recognize who I am on the telephone, I don't think, unless you've got a really good recognition. But if I call you up 5 times a day for the next 30 days, you're going to know right away, oh, hi, that's Rob again. Hi, Rob. Because you're going to recognize, because we've dialed up enough. And the more that we dialogue with God, the more we're going to recognize when he talks to us. So there's a certain amount of connection that needs to happen, but we were designed to recognize God's voice. This may seem kind of obvious, but in practice, most of us have a hard time believing that. Story about a mom who sent her 5-year-old daughter to her room because she disobeyed. And after a few minutes, mom went in to talk to her and said, you know, talk to her about what she'd done. And the little girl's just all teary-eyed and said, Mommy, why do we do wrong things? Well, mom replied, sometimes the devil just tells us to do something wrong and we listen to him. And we need to listen to God more. Little girl replies, but Mommy, God doesn't talk loud enough. And oftentimes we're, you know, just not aware of what God is saying. And the second part of this, I'm going to talk about how God talks to us. Turn to Job 33:14. You didn't know there was something about hearing from God in Job, did you? Everybody's favorite book, Job. Do you know I've never read Job once when I was doing my devotions? I read Job and I'm reading through the Bible, and that's the next book to get to. But there's this wonderful verse in Job 33. For those of you who are still looking, go to Psalms and turn left. Job 33, verse 14. Look at this. This is great. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. God is speaking in a number of different ways. It's happening. The breakdown is that we don't perceive that God's doing it. See, we often say, oh, well, God's just not speaking now. He's not saying anything to me. God never says anything to me. No, the Bible says God is speaking, first one way and then another way. He's like trying all these different ways to get hold of you, trying to talk to you, and we don't perceive it. I want to encourage you again. God is speaking to you. We have a very chatty God. Have you read this book? It says like, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. I mean, he's like talking through this whole thing. If you read the Gospels, how much of the time is Jesus talking? He's like talking all the time. We have this God who wants so much to dialogue with us, and we don't perceive it. You with me? Luke 11, verses 9 through 13. Now, Dale, let's go ahead and turn there. You need to see this. Man, I need to speed this up a little bit, too. Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus is speaking. Oh, who's speaking? There's Jesus again. He's talking again. Such a chatty God. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, are you ready for this? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, now what are some of the Holy Spirit's jobs? He's teacher, he's a counselor, but what else does he do? He gives gifts. Isn't that so wonderful? And he brings and leads us into connection with God. It's his whole job to reveal and draw us into relationship with God. That's what he does. We talked last night. Jesus went away so that the Holy Spirit could come and do all that. And yet, we still say, he's not going to speak to us. If you ask the Holy Spirit, God, I want to hear from you. If you say, Holy Spirit, help me to hear from you. What does it say? You're going to get the Holy Spirit. You're going to get that connection with God. Now, we can either say, well, my experience says that hasn't happened, or we can believe what the Word says. The Word says you're going to get it. Say, how do you know it's God? My answer is you don't. But I have a question for you. Why wouldn't what you hear be God? You say, okay, God, I want to hear from you. Why wouldn't the next thought or picture or word, why wouldn't that next thing be God? You got it, didn't you? He's percolating. He's doing so well. He's like got this God thing going on. See, we spend so much of our time trying to find reasons why it might not be God that we never get around to hearing him. What if we took even half of the effort that we spend talking ourselves out of believing God? Oh, it must have just been me. It couldn't have been me. I'm not sure if this is quite right. I don't know if my theology is quite right. I don't know if this is God. I don't know how to interpret visions. I'm not sure if there's, you know, if we spent half of that energy just saying, sure, it's God. If I ask Mary something, I fully expect to have something come back. Why wouldn't the next thing that you hear when you say, God, what do you want to say? Why wouldn't it be God? Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test everything and hold on to what's good. It does not say test everything, and if you make one mistake, throw everything out forever. It does not say test everything, and if you see somebody on TV who's a charlatan, forget the whole thing. It says test what you're hearing, and then keep the good stuff. If we just applied that, why wouldn't it be God? Why wouldn't the next thing coming? Why wouldn't it be God? It'll change everything in how you look at this. By the way, how do you test everything? We don't have time for a great theological debate, and we're going, okay, is this God or not? Right? I don't know how good you guys are at theology, but I'm not very good at it. How do you test it? Does it sound like God? Have you read the book enough to know what his character's like? Is it the kind of thing God would say? Unfortunately, the church hasn't done a real great job of PR for God. We've made him a very angry God. We've made him a very punishing God and all those kinds of things. But if you read the book, if you read his literature about who he is, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, just all kinds of wonderful things. Is what you're hearing sound like God? Is what you're hearing sound like something Jesus would say? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Read the Gospels and find out about Jesus' heart and the kind of things he said, and is what you're hearing sound like Jesus? Does it contradict the Bible? God is never going to talk to you in contradiction with his eternal written word. God's not going to say, go out and kill your boss because he's just really bugging you. That's not a God thing. He's not ever going to contradict this. So here's how you test it. Does it sound like God? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it contradict the word? So is it Papa saying nice things to his kids? Too simple, right? You say, how do I know it's God? You don't know. You don't get that written guarantee. But why wouldn't it be God, a loving heavenly Father who wants to communicate with his children? He is speaking. We maybe just aren't perceiving it. Okay? You all right with that? Honestly, if you can go home with that, and if you start to walk in that, that single little thing that we've just talked about will change more than anything else you've done. The other question that people have is, I don't really know how God talks to me. We just talked about the big one. If you get that down, why wouldn't it be God? It'll change how you interact with him. The other one is, I don't really know how God speaks. We saw in Job that he's talking all the time, but we don't always perceive it. So how does God speak? There's probably as many ways as God could make up. I mean, he talked to Balaam through a donkey. So he's really, you know, he's pretty varied in how he wants to do that thing. Fortunately, there's not a lot of donkeys wandering around. So we're not going to have that happen too often. But there are some relatively consistent ways that God speaks to us. I'm going to talk about that and demonstrate it to you. The Holy Spirit's going to come during the middle of this thing. And after I tell you the way that it works, then I'm going to show you how it works. You go, whoa, that's pretty bold, right? Not really. Why wouldn't it be God? Why wouldn't God want to come and show us how this stuff works? Because we know how it works. Yeah, once in a while I get like a... like, okay, I'm the speaker, and if you don't show up, God, I'm going to look abundantly stupid very quickly. But you know what? He always shows up. Because he wants this stuff to work, and he wants us to understand. Okay, so how does God speak? The most common way, and again, this is not wildly profound, but the most common way is he just speaks through your thoughts. Everybody's going, rats, I was hoping for angels visits or something. It's just God's Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. You just get a thought, an idea, a concept in your mind. Maybe as you get more comfortable, you'll start to get sentences where you begin to dialogue with him, but God just drops something in your mind. Pardon me. Could you get me some water? Thanks, honey. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, the Holy Spirit lives in us and communicates to our spirit. We understand that communication happens through our thought, which is why the Bible speaks so much about what we do with our thoughts. It never says to worry about our spirit, because our spirit is brand new when we accept Jesus. It's without sin. That's where the Holy Spirit is, right? Our physical body just always wants to go for its own thing. It's always messed up. The difference is what we think. That's why Romans 12:2 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That isn't Romans 12:2. That's 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. Romans 12:2 says we're to renew our minds, to think like God thinks rather than the way the world used to think. Lots of stuff about our mind, that we're to deal with it here. Are we going to make a choice to believe what God says or what we've already known? And that's where we hear the most commonly. God just drops a thought in our mind. Just like the example of the telephone. He calls up and says, hey, how you doing today? Or I'll be you know, sitting there waiting for the signal to change or something. I say, okay, God, what's on your mind today? People are laughing. Why is that funny? Don't you call your friends when you're, I mean, everybody here's got a cell phone. I think they come, you come, you know, like born with one or something here. There's a lot in north in Toronto, but boy, there's really a lot of them here. I expect to see a homeless person have cell phone before too long. We call people up. Why wouldn't we just dial up God? When am I supposed to be done? Whenever. Okay, you're in trouble. But I've talked for a little while. I think I just want to share a story to help with the idea that God will just come in during the regular things of our life. And that's when it's really fun. One morning when I was living in Southern California, and I shared last night, almost all my stories are going to be before I was a pastor so that it's more relatable to you. We're living in Southern California, and I'd gotten up kind of late, and Mary and I hadn't gotten off to a real good start for the day, and one of our kids had been less than sterling, and it was just not a good day. In Southern California, there's a part of the year where the fog comes in every morning and maybe burns off, and then it comes back in at night. So it's foggy almost for a couple of months. They call it June gloom because normally Southern California is very sunny. Well, it was kind of, you know, overcast and gloomy, and I just was having not a good day, and I'm driving up to the highway to get on the highway, and I go, God, where are you? This is just not a good day. I pull on the highway, and I said, no, really, God, I need to connect with you today, and I know you can. Right in the middle of this thing, he says, okay, here it comes. Now, at that point, I have a choice to say, how do I know it's God? It could not be God, right? But why wouldn't it be God? I just said I need to connect with you. There's fog everywhere. And right in the middle of it, this hole opens in the fog, this thick marine layer. The sun comes shining down right on the highway, right where I'm driving. And it's got, you know, you've seen those pictures where the rays come through and it just looks like so holy and everything. And I drove right into it. And it moved with me down the highway for about a kilometer. And then it all closed back up again. And I go, whoa. I'm doing better now. The thought came, okay, here it comes. And at that point, we always have the opportunity to say, is it God or not? Well, the best way to do it is to show you how to do it, right? Okay, God, I need a thought. Okay, the thought I got for you is that you want more, but you're not really sure it's coming. You want more from God. You know the gifts you've got, but you're not really sure it's coming. Is that close? Now, have we talked about this before? Did we plan this ahead of time? Did I ask you to nod really a lot when I did this? Right? Who is her best friend? Does that sound like something that's been going on in her life? Okay. By the way, this is extra. You can still come up and get your prophetic word. She's going, but my tape, I really want it. And how did I know that? This is extra too, by the way. You're going to get more. How did I know that that's what she's thinking? Have you been thinking that? A little bit? Okay. Have you been thinking that? Really? There's an epidemic in this place. I could have picked anybody and got that word right. How did I know that you were worried about, is this my only word or is the next, or do I get a full tape? How did I know that? Because God said she's worried about that, so tell her. It's just that simple. God drops a thought into what you're thinking, and why wouldn't it be God? You really can come up and get a full tape with everything, okay? Because we're going to tell you about some of the stuff that's coming, and we'll prophesy that into your life, okay? That's the most common way. It's the most fun way. You can do it inside, outside, all that sort of stuff. That's by far the most common way that I hear from God. I'm almost jealous of some of the other people who get some of these other things that they get and in the way God communicates to them. You know, some people get like Technicolor pictures and all this kind of stuff. And, man, I don't get that stuff. I'm like, oh, man, I'd really like that. I'm just happy if I get a word to get started. That's the most common way. Okay? Okay. Another way that God speaks is through the Bible. Obviously, Gloria shared one. But I want to encourage you that in addition to just getting a quoted word, hearing from God through the Bible is something where he takes the word of the Lord and applies it to you in a way that's meaningful in your life. Now, hearing from God through the Bible is not this, and I need everybody to look at me. This is not hearing from God through the Bible. Now, there's probably not one person sitting here who has not done that, including me. But you know what verses I always get when I do that? Woe to you, Israel, for you've sinned. Judas went out and hanged himself. You know, I always get those. It never works for me. I'm always turning to Jeremiah or something like that. It's terrible. When God speaks to you through the Bible, it's not so much that way. It can be just like Gloria shared. Turn to this place you've never been to. Have any of you heard of David Roos? He's written a number of songs that you guys probably sing and don't know he's the writer of it. David Ruiz? Yeah, it's Our Confession. He wrote that song. He's a Christian writer, does a lot of Christian music. They were doing a song and doing worship, and they were caught up in the Holy Spirit. And in the middle of this song, it was just about, you know, connecting with the Father's heart and knowing God's love. In the middle of this during worship one time, like the whole band just kind of eases into a song by Foreigner called I Want to Know What Love Is. Now, Foreigner, as you know, is not a Christian group. They've never claimed to be a Christian group, and their lyrics certainly evidence that they're not a Christian group. But this song is just this cry that says, I want to know what love is, and then they wove it together with a Christian song about God showing what love was. The worship time went great. I mean, you know, people were weeping and connecting with God, and they got back in the room afterwards, and they go, can we do that? I mean, could we really, you know, like, use a secular song like that? Because that's kind of a weird thing, you know. That's like top 40 on the radio kind of thing. Can we do that? So they're praying, oh, God, we need to know. And somebody says, turn to Isaiah 56:3. Now, how many people have memorized Isaiah 56:3? Probably nobody. I don't even know what's in Isaiah 56. Do you know what Isaiah 56:3 says? Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will exclude me. Now, is that cool? God can speak through the word. Certainly, he speaks through the biblical word as we read it. But in the dialoguing kind of thing, God will take specific words and apply it to our life. Are you with me? He will never apply it contrary to the total word of God. He'll never do that. If you hear something, you take a little piece of the Bible, and it's contrary to what the rest of the counsel of the word is, it's wrong. This book is always the final standard. Have I made that clear enough yet? That was an unacceptable answer. Have I made it clear that this book is absolutely the final standard against which we measure everything we hear? This, you have to get that right, please, or you'll just get weird. I know people that have kind of like ignored this book, and they get weird. They do weird things. They hear weird stuff, and it's just like, it's just ugly. You know, Gloria was talking about it. It's like, ooh. Yeah, it's those people who forget this is the standard. But within the context of what that means, I'll give you an example in my own life. When I first came to the Lord, I was so hungry to know about God. I had a million questions. You know, we've gone out with some of you and hardly anybody's asked any questions. Not me. When I got around somebody who might look like they were mammalian and breathing, I would ask them a question about Jesus. said, can you tell me? I'd go to people in my church. Can you tell me what this means? I'm reading this. I don't know anything about this. Please tell me. I'm reading along in Isaiah. And Isaiah 1:18, you can turn to it later because you don't need to read the whole thing. Isaiah 1:18 says, come down, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were scarlet, it'll be white as snow and all that. And he's talking about what Jesus is going to do in our lives. And that's what it means contextually. And that's what it means eternally. But God took that one little piece of scripture at that point, come now and let us reason together. And he said, you can ask me questions. And I go, oh, really? I don't have to go to all these other people who don't know the answers or don't have time. So I started talking to God going, what is this in here for? Why did you write this? Oh, God, why did you write that? You know, forgive as you want to be forgiven. I was distressed when I found that verse. Oh man. But you can dialogue with him. So out of the scripture, and that's consistent with all of scripture, that God invites us into a dialoguing relationship. So it wasn't contrary to scripture. And one of the most fun ways, I believe, that God speaks through scripture is when he tailors a scripture to you personally. Now, what does that look like? So we'll show you live, okay? Joy, what's a verse that you've been thinking about or one of your favorite verses? Anyone? You can't get this question wrong. There's no possible way you can get this wrong. Any verse you like? Psalm 37. You want to pick a verse in there or turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You're right there? Everybody with me? Okay, a lot of us will read a verse or maybe we'll think, okay, God's saying, you know, this verse to us. And so let's say, I want to minister this thing. And so, good. Psalm 37:4. Joy? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Are you blessed? Well, a little bit, right? But I want to suggest that this is a launching pad for dialogue and relationship with God. What if instead of just quoting like this, say, Joy, God said that he loves when you get excited about him, that your pulse races just a little faster when you know it's God talking. And he's so excited about that he says, Joy, those things that you've longed for and desired in your heart, I'm going to give them to you because that's what I like doing for my kids. Now, which do you like better? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're not changing scripture, but what happens is the Holy Spirit, as we dialogue with God, will come to you and begin to take the eternal scripture and make it applicable to you right now. How much fun is that? If that becomes a part of your relationship with God, that's going to change how you read this book. Because no longer is it some kind of theological treatise of something that happened a long time ago. It's a living word, which is what it says it is anyway, that's interacting in your life and speaking into the areas of your life in places that are meaningful and significant to you. Okay? Numbers 12, 6 through 8 has about 4 or 5 different ways that God speaks. So we'll just turn there real quick. Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. 6 through 8. God is saying this, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? There are several different ways of communication that are found in this passage. One of them is face to face, or the audible voice of the Lord. Now, that's what most people say. Well, I haven't heard God. You know, I've not heard God either. I'm not even sure I want to, because I've seen what happens in the book when people hear God. It's like they fall off, you know, horses, or they get struck blind, or they're terrified, or so. You know, I want to hear God, kinda. The audible voice of the Lord is a serious thing, but God can speak and does speak audibly. I was teaching this one time in a high school retreat, and there was this little tiny girl that came in. I mean, she was like, you know, 3'1" or something. She snuck in. She was not a high school person, I'm just sure of it. Real tiny little thing. Hadn't said anything hardly the entire time. I said just exactly this. God rarely speaks audibly. And she puts up her hand and goes, "Excuse me, I have heard God 4 times in my life." I'm going, "Really? Here, you take the mic and you tell us how to hear from God, because I haven't done that." Now, there have been times when the internal voice that I've heard is so loud, I've actually turned to see if someone else heard it. But I haven't heard the audible voice of the Lord. But he does speak that way. That is one of the ways that he communicates. I just want to kind of give you a little caution. If you're waiting for the audible voice of the Lord to believe that you've heard from God, you're not going to hear very many times. You're not going to have that dialogue daily that happens that we're all looking for. Okay? Another way in here, it talks about hearing from God. And the reason I'm going over all these is, remember back in Job, it said, our God is speaking one way, then another, and we don't perceive it. So that you can know these are different ways that he talks so that we're able to perceive it. Another way is a vision. A vision is just a mental picture, but it's usually relatively short. Now, when we hear the word vision, what do we think of? The book of Daniel and this big statue, or the book of Revelation and all these weird beasts and all this kind of stuff going on. That's what we think of. A vision is just a mental picture, and generally, it's quick. Have you ever done this? You're in a hurry to get somewhere. Oh, God, where did I put my keys? And boom, a picture comes in your mind. You left them over on that dresser. That's a vision. And that, by the way, is hearing from God, too. That isn't you just remembering, because what just happened? God, where did I put it? Why wouldn't that vision be from God? Why wouldn't the next thing be from God? We're getting some people nodding. I think we're getting this, Sam. Okay, I can speed this thing up a little bit. It may be, but it's not always symbolic. Sometimes visions are symbolic. Sometimes they're literal. There's lots of references. You can look up, for instance, in John 1:48, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree. What really happened there? Well, he got a vision of him because he was never there. Acts 16:9, Paul received direction. And you can look this up. Go back and read through, you know, like the Gospels and the book of Acts. Happens all the time. They get visions and pictures and this kind of thing. Best way to do this is show you, right? So, God, I need a vision. Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Boyang? Am I anywhere close to pronouncing it right? Pretty close. Oh, you're so kind. The picture I got, and this is a symbolic one because I know the picture can't possibly be literal. What I saw was you standing over the keyboard with sword-like blades coming instead of fingers. Now, is that exciting? Not really, eh? That's because you haven't heard what the meaning is. And by the way, we're going to teach you that just because you get a picture, you're not done. You have to get the interpretation of it. The only reason I said that is so you'll know what I'm starting with in terms of connecting and making communication with God. What I feel like the Lord wants you to know is in Psalm 145 or 45. Mary will tell me what it is. No, you stay with me. She'll go find the verse for me. God says that he's preparing your hands for battle and your weapons, your fingers for war. 144? Okay, thank you. I'm glad there's at least one biblical scholar here. He is going to prepare you to not just play the keyboard. David, when he would come into Saul's presence and Saul was oppressed by demons, David would play his instrument and the demons would leave. God is training your hands that even when you play, you're going to go to war. There are people who are going to literally be healed and delivered when you play your keyboard. God is connecting your heart with much more than just music. And there's nothing wrong with what you play in music. But there's a whole other dimension that God is bringing to you, that you are going to set people free because he's training your hands. There's a sensitivity coming that you're going to change volumes, change keys, and a lot of different things that God's going to teach you to do, that you will contend for salvation and healing and deliverance on your keyboard because he's training your hands for battle and your fingers for war. Now, isn't that a whole lot better than the vision, eh? We didn't plan this out, did we? Obviously, I didn't plan it. I didn't even remember where the passage was. Okay. A dream is another way that it speaks out of the same passage. A dream, obviously, I can't demonstrate that because I'm not that boring to myself. I can't go to sleep and do that. I just want to caution people who dream, however. Dreams are frequently symbolic, and you're going to need to get an interpretation of that. Dreams are throughout the Bible, and you know dozens of them. One other way that it's mentioned in here that God speaks is through riddles or parables or dark speech or hidden truth. It's something that happens naturally that God gives spiritual content or meaning to. An example in the Bible is 1 Samuel 15:24-28. You can look that up later, but what the story is, and this is Rob's version of it, Rob's language of it, Saul had messed up big time. God told Samuel, it's all over for Saul. He's not going to be king anymore. Go tell him he's out. I'm going to put a new king in. Samuel goes to tell Saul, said, Saul, I got some bad news for you. You remember that thing with the Amalekites you messed up on? That was the last straw. God says you're going to get replaced. I told you it was my version of it and my language of it. But the story's the same. You're out. Samuel turns to leave, and Saul grabs the corner of his robe and tears it. Now, we tear clothes all the time, at least I do, tear clothes all the time, right? It's not a big deal. But this time, God brought content to that action of tearing of the robe. And Samuel turns and says, just as you've torn the corner of my robe, so I'm going to tear the kingdom from you. There are times, not all the time, not everything that you do has deep spiritual meaning, okay? Please stay with me. Because you can get weird doing this stuff. Oh, the clock is on 10:44. That must mean Romans 10:44. So, you know, I mean, are you with me? I mean, you could just get way out there and we'll have to, like, send people to come and get you and bring you back. But there are times when it means a lot. Example in my life is I have an anointing for red lights. I have hit more red lights in my adult life than any person who has ever been 49 years and 7 months old. Mary, if we're running close, we're almost late, Mary will insist that she drive because we'll get there faster because she hits way more green lights than I do. I hit a lot of red lights. We were learning how to do inner healing one time, and we'd been working on all this stuff, and I'd had no impact in my life. I'd just been doing it faithfully and out of obedience. I said, oh, God, you got to do something. And we'd been through nights of the training. We were to the next to the last night. We're going to do the deliverance the next day, and then that was it. And I got this thought, and the person who was training us goes, oh, that's the Lord, and he showed you the strategy for this. I'm going, what? I totally didn't get it. I didn't feel like I'd connected with God. And I said, so we got done with all the preparation for the deliverance the next day, and we'd been doing all of this stuff for the whole week. And we're walking down to the car to take the person who was training us back to where they were staying. And I said, God, is this really something you want me to do? That's all. You know, we get in the car, I start it up, we pull out the driveway, turn right, go up the street, Cothro Road. Go up Cothro Road. I hit the first signal, and it's green. I go through it. I hit the next one, and it's green. I go through it. Turn right on Burnham Thorpe. Start going down Burnham Thorpe, and I hit the next one, and it's green. And I hit the next one, it's green. I start to go. I'm just thinking just a little bit. Man, this is kind of unusual. I hit the next one, and it's green. That's now five in a row. We've now hit, you know, Guinness Book of World Records as far as Rob is concerned. I'm going, whoa. Hit the next one green. Hit the next one green. And then Mary gets quiet because she's figured out she's seeing a divine miracle close to the parting of the Red Sea. That's now seven of them in a row. Hit the next one, and it's green. And the lady in the back seat, she gets quiet because now the Holy Spirit's in the car, and we're going, whoa, this is a God encounter. I've never hit eight signals green in my entire existence. It has never happened. Hit the next one, and it's green. The next one, it's green. The 11th one, and it's green. We're coming up to the last one. We're crossing Rathburn. It's red. I didn't even take my foot off the gas. I am so sure that God has caused this to be a divine encounter that even if it just turned red, it's going back green. I just knew it. I got about 150 yards away from the thing turned green. All 12 lights turned green. I'm going, oh, Jesus, we're going to do something with this inner healing stuff because God came and spoke to me. Now, I've not ever since then had God give me one word according to traffic signals. But that one time, he did something unusual that communicated to me, it's a go for this one, Rob. It's okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God takes normal things in our life and can, from time to time, speak right into our lives with that. You like that? What's your name? I got to get one of these to show you how it works, right? Jin Young. Am I close? Jin Young. Here's what I got for dark speech. I was looking going, God, you got to tell me something or give me some kind of a thing. And I looked over at you, and I saw the color of your sweater. Now, everybody just has got colors of sweaters. You got a lovely, you know, whatever color that is. I guess I'm stalling for the anointing. What color is that? Pink? Okay. I was going to say, like, you know, chartreuse or maroon or some exotic thing like that. I don't know. Fuchsia. There we go. That's the one I was looking for. Everybody's got that, but yours happened to stand out. And I'm only saying that so that you'll know what the thing was that I got. Now, I can't do this well. I've tried to do it well. I usually fail when I try to get something off of people's clothes or, you know, something like that. But what I felt like God wants you to know is that you are going to come into a season of fruitfulness in prayer. You are an intercessor. I know that. Just, you know, this, my spirit just recognizes that you're an intercessor. You pray like crazy. There are things that you've been praying about that have been very slow or maybe haven't come. But the Lord wants you to know that just like leaves get green, that crops get green, that things get green when they're fruitful and productive, you are coming into a season of prayer that you're going to find answers to prayer are coming. There's productivity. There's fruit that's coming in the things that you prayed for. How do you know it's God? You don't. But why wouldn't it be God? And how does God speak? Thoughts. The Word. Visions. The audible voice of the Lord. Dreams. The stuff in our daily lives. This stuff isn't hard. It just takes being like a child to say, I believe Papa wants to talk to me. Now, those of you who are part of this conference and I guess go to this church or whoever's been invited, tomorrow you're going to do it. And you're going to experience what you just saw tonight and what you've seen as we've ministered to you the other night. We're going to do a couple of, we're going to prophetically minister to one or two people just to begin to model it for you. And then we'll take some time to pray for some people afterwards. And Sam, you can pick out the people that you want us to pray for. We're going to start praying for everyone, start working our way through praying for everyone so we'll be done by the time we get done. But I want to encourage you. What I've just shared with you tonight, if you begin to apply this in your life, it will revolutionize your Christian life more than any other single thing you can learn. Because when the God of heaven begins to talk to you and you begin to talk back to him and you have this dialoguing relationship going on, everything changes, and it changes for the best. Okay, guys, why don't you come up and we'll pray for one or two people. Now, the reason we're doing this as a team, there's two reasons. One is just to model it for you. We want to try to model it so you can all see what's going to happen. The second reason is that you'll get to hear four different ways that people minister prophetically. You don't have to do it like I do it. You don't have to do it like Mary does it. You'll end up doing it like yourself, but just to see different ways that God ministers. Okay? Y'all right with that? Okay, and you're recording this. Do you want us to use a tape or you got it on there? Okay, the people that we're going to pray for as a group, you can get the tape or you can get the recording from them. Then what we're going to do is we'll dismiss, and you're free to go and enjoy the food or whatever, and you know if you need to leave or whatever. And Sam will direct some people to come up. And we'll start praying for you individually, and you get your tapes to be able to go home with. Okay? Okay. Why don't you come up, since you were really concerned about missing the whole thing, so, you know, now you get the big one. Oh, okay. Whatever you want. We just want you to just, like, get all of what you want. Okay. What's your name again?
Jane.
Jane. That isn't what you told me last time, but that's okay. Okay. Father, we thank you for Jane. We thank you for her heart. We thank you for how much you love her. And Jane, I feel like the Lord wants you to know I really do have way more than what you've currently experienced. That you know that you love to host people, and you do have the gift of hospitality. It really flows out of you and blesses people. You have the gift of service to want to do that. But the Lord says, I've got a whole nother dimension of things that I'm going to bring into your life. And it's gifts that will require the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because sometimes you do the things like, I don't know if I do this because I'm good at it anyway, or if this is you, God. But where God is calling you to, there's some gifts that you've said, I would really like that. And they'll only work when the Holy Spirit comes. And God says, I'm going to give those to you. They're already in you, and they're going to get stirred up this weekend. You've got an interest in the prophetic. There's that gifting on you to do that. Really? Well, you did. And God says, I planted that in you. I put that desire because you've been really worried. They thought, oh, maybe I just want, you know, I want it because I want to be in front of people or some other thing. God says, no, I've planted that in you. I've given you that hunger and desire to do that, and I'm going to release that thing in you. I'm going to release that gift in you. You're going to be a woman that speaks with authority under the anointing of the Lord, that you're going to speak words of encouragement and blessing into people's lives. You're going to speak hope and even plant destiny in other people's lives because you're going to hear the word of the Lord. The other thing I feel like the Lord wants to say to you is, you do hear me. You really said, you're one of the ones that really identified, how do I know it's God? You contend with that a lot. And I feel like he says, you're my daughter. Of course you hear from me. I wired you from the time you were in your mother's womb to be connected with me and hear from me. And it's my good pleasure to give you that gift.
And I see where the Lord has been stirring in you, and it's the fullness of time right now for that mantle of wisdom to be released over you. And so we release it now on her, Lord. And the name of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, is solid rock in your life from this day forward. That there's a wisdom of counsel that rests on you, that the Lord is placing on you like a covering, like a coat, even of armor. In business, Wonderful Counselor. And there's a counsel that's coming forth from you that is so far beyond the age that you are, that there's no way this little young woman could know this stuff. And it's going to get attention from those that are higher up in levels that have worked and worked for years and years to get there. And you're going to have a favor on you because the wonderful counselor is going to be expressed through you in fullness, and they're going to start asking, how do you know that? How did you know that that company was going to fold up? Because just yesterday, they were really going strong. How'd you know that? And there's going to be questions asked of you, and you're going to have the answer ready. Do not fear. Because it's going to be there. It's going to be there.
Jane, what I see is just such a pleasure you have in worshiping the Lord when you're a backup singer. But just there's a real pleasure upon you in how you worship the Lord. And I really feel that God is saying that I've seen you worship in the quietness of your own home. Not in front of the fanfare, but in the darkness of your room that you've just poured out yourself. And it's like a child worshiping before God without any inhibitions. And you're saying, take me as I am. And I really feel there's a pleasure upon that, that the Lord has been pleased with your worship and pleased with such delight to see his child worshiping before him. And there's going to be a real blessing upon that worship, that ability to worship and enter into the presence of God. Lord, we just release right now that worship, that that gifting of worship upon her right now. And we ask that you would well up within her just a desire to express all the things that are on your heart through her singing, through her voice, but just through her body. In the way that she worships, that there's going to be a real anointing in when you're up there, and you're not going to even look out at the people and be concerned about that. There's just going to be a place of transformation where you're going to enter into that throne room, and I really sense that the Lord is going to put his mantle upon you in that area, and people are going to be drawn to that place, and you're going to go into that place of the Holy of Holies and enter in. And what I see also is that there's like, you're like champagne in a bottle, and you know how you pop that bottle, it's just going to burst forth, and there is just something bubbling inside of you. And I really believe that's the Holy Spirit just it's unleashing, and it's not a little fizzle that's coming out. It's the Holy Spirit just going to pop right out of you. There's some it's a bursting forth, a birthing forth. And Lord, we just ask that you would just uncork that, that there would be such an energy, just a burst. Lord, even more, even more. Lord, just even more. Just even more. Receive what he has for you. Receive even more, even more. Jayim, even more. Even more, even more. I feel the Lord saying, take it, take it. It's yours, take it. It's for you. Receive it, even more. Step forward in boldness, in faith, because he wants to just fill you. And it's just not a trickle. I really see him pouring out more, a huge, huge bucket pouring all over you. Lord, just fill her, anoint her even more. That just that release of your presence. Take it in even more, even more. Receive, receive. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just keep filling her, Lord.
And Jane, I really get a sense that God, as Mary, just what is going along the lines of what Mary was saying, God is going to raise you up to the high places. I saw a picture of a mountain with eagles flying all around, and you are going up. And what I really felt, what God is so, what He's birthed in you is a boldness, but also a woman who's willing to take risks, and He wants to birth that in you more, that you are bold, and you're willing to take risks for the Lord. And you may not realize that right now, but He's really going to stir up within you a new level of faith to be able to climb the rocky mountain, but you're going to have faith to know that if you slip, His eagles are going to come and they're going to catch you. And He's giving you a supernatural faith to go forth to do things that a lot of other women would not do. But He's giving you such a boldness, and He's going to bless you with the gift of faith to be able to take risks, because He wants to raise you up into the high places to give you the wisdom and the discernment and the strategy to see things high up the way where he sees it. And the only way you can get there is if you climb up through faith, and He's going to give you that faith so you can go up to the high places to see things.
Can I just put my hand on your forehead? It's biblical to be able to lay hands on people just a little bit, and I just want to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stir up the gift of wisdom and counsel has been spoken over this woman. Father, that it will be released in her, that it will be just multiplied in her. Father, the prophetic anointing that she's asked for and that gifting in the name of Jesus, I stir that up. I call it forth in the name of Jesus, that it will be released in this woman, that she'll just pour out your words of encouragement and blessing on other people, that she'll just be connected with you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in her life. Amen. We'll do just one more, and then we'll pray a prayer to dismiss you. If you need to go, please feel released. Also be released to go ahead and have snacks together and stuff. We are not quitting. We're going to continue to pray for people. And over the course of the next 2 weeks, we're going to pray for all of you. But we'll pray for a number of people tonight. I'm sorry. You wanted to pray for somebody, so.
Joy, come on up. Lord, we just ask you to come and minister your word to Joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Here it comes. Good. That's the Holy Spirit. Joy, there's been a season of dryness in your life, and you've been asking God about it, because it's gotten you kind of bugged. And the Lord says, I am pouring down a rain upon your life that's the sweet, gentle rain. It's not that deluge dumping rain that you got to run and get away from. This is that gentle, misty, lovely rain. And it's coming, and where it just kind of settles on the earth and settles on the foliage. That kind of rain. Refreshing rain. And we just release it now on her. We release it on her now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there's so much that is coming that even this dryness has been a test. Will you still love me, Joy, when you can't feel my presence? Will you still love me? And you passed, Joy. You passed. And the Lord says, I am changing the way you see me. And even as that gentle mist comes down, when the sun shines on it, it makes a prism, and the colors begin to show forth in their beauty, and we call it a rainbow. And the Lord says, I'm filling your world with rainbows. Here they come. And where there's the precipitation, the very, very gentle precipitation, the rainbows don't appear unless the light shows through them. There's revelation that's coming to you in such a way that you haven't experienced before. Revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Word, the Bible, really leaping off the page and living. That's being released on you now. So this is your season. This is your season of rainbows. Freshness, newness, refreshing.
Joy, I just feel the Lord wants to put renewed joy in your life again. Just that your name just brought forth, that God wants to fill you with a renewed joy, ongoing joy. Lord, we ask that you would just fill her right now. Fill her. Lord, fill her with your joy. Oh, fill her, Lord. For I sense that there's been a place of dryness where you said, oh, the joy's not there in me. Lord, where are you? A lot of promises, a lot of dreams that haven't necessarily been answered. And the Lord says, I want to fill you with my joy to overflowing. And he would say to you, Joy, that all of his promises are yes in him. All of the dreams and promises that he's placed in you, you may not have seen the answers yet, but they are yes in him. They're yes and amen in him. And he wants to fill you with his renewed joy, that you would just come to that place of his living water. And I really sense a place that he's drawing you to him to rest by that brook and to drink in that water, that living water of joy renewing within you. Lord, fill those places that have been dry. Fill those places that there may not have been life, but the Lord's pouring out his life in you. I see blossoms coming forth, and there's going to be new life, new joy.
I really get a sense that God has deposited in you such a wellspring of living waters. And the verse where Jesus says, whoever comes to me, what will burst forth is streams of living water. And when you were created, he deposited in you a huge wellspring of water, and he's calling it forth in this season. Lord, we pray that you would release, Father, the destiny on this woman, Father, where streams of living water, Father, will flow from her belly, and that it will be extended to those around her. Joy, I feel like he's depositing you such a wellspring, and it's going to be an outpouring, not just for yourself, but for those around you. That you will be connected to Jesus in such an intimate way that you will be like those trees that are planted so firmly by the source of the living water, that your leaves will be extended to those who are sick, who are weary, and you will shield them. And I really sense that he's saying, I'm going to root you so deeply to my source that in times of famine, in times of drought, your leaves will never wither, but they will always remain green and strong, and that you will be a source, that God is going to channel the living waters in you to extend healing and life to other people. And Joy, I also saw a highway, and I really feel like God is saying, maybe you've been feeling like you've been sidelined and put on the shelf, but he's saying, I have opened up the path for you, and I see a clear highway, and he's opened it up for you, and he's saying, Joy, I'm taking you along. I've cleared the path. You are not meant to sit on the sidelines, but you're going to come on me to a journey, and I've prepared a highway that's specifically for you.
You ready to go? I feel like the Lord says, take my hand. And like he's so excited about going. He says, you ready to go? And like I can see him going ahead and say, are you coming? Are you coming? I got so much stuff I want to show you. You ready to come, Joy? You ready to come? There's this excitement about God that says, this is so your time. And he's running ahead and saying, I got all this stuff for you. I can't wait any longer. I want you to just start enjoying everything I've got for you. Lord, bless her in Jesus' name with that joy and delight and anointing and refreshing and overflowing blessing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's do this tonight. Are you translating this? Now, I want to clarify a couple of things, okay? One, we're recording all the words that we get for a few reasons, okay? Number one, a lot of times when you're standing here or you're receiving, it's hard to take in everything that's coming, right? You probably hear one thing and you're like freaking out. Everyone's looking at me, you know, that kind of stuff. So when we do this, we do it so for your benefit that you can have this. Now, it's also a sense of accountability to them, right? It says test every prophecy. The Bible tells us that. And so we do this, right, because these guys are not flaky people, okay? And so they're not going to say, you know, blah, 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 this. And, you know, I mean, they're attaching themselves to these words as well. And so they're accountable to these words. And so you go home, and what I want you to do is you take the tape, right? Don't just put it on your shelf, right, and like, oh, that was really nice. You know, that was nice things to say to me. You take these things, and I want you to go home, and I want you to transcribe these things. Put it on paper, and then pray over it. You know, I have so many tapes at home that this has happened, and I go home, and I transcribe it, and I just, you know, put it in a notebook, and I just pray over these things. You know, and God is always faithful, you know, and a lot of these things, these prophetic words are conditional, right? You know, because everything we do in the Christian world is conditional. You know, God may tell you, you're going to go to the nations. What if you sit at home on your butt all day long? You know what I mean? And stuff. And so this is where we join God in what he's doing. And so that's that part. So that's why we have these tapes with us, okay? And it's not for you just to say, hey, look what I got, you know? But it's an act of ministry, and we're providing this for you. So when you get one, take it home, pray over it, you know, analyze it, go through the scriptures. Is this right? Is this what God is doing? And you'll find a lot of times God is confirming things that happen. Like for me, a lot of times, you know, these words that I get, it just confirms so many things that God is doing inside of me already. And I can say, yes. You know, even when John was being prayed for, and I've known John for a while, and everything that was, you know, that was said, and some of you guys that know her, you're like, I've been trying to tell her for the whole year what Rob just said. You know, I've been trying to get through that thick skull, well, thin, beautiful skull, but you know, I've been trying to get through to her for so long, and now you have the word of the Lord that comes through. And do you think John's going to finally start believing it? Not here, but here. Right? That's the beauty of the prophetic. You know, and I mean, I can sit there as a pastor and say, man, you know, that's what I've been saying all along. You know, and I'm not doing it in a bad way, right? I'm just saying because God has his timing. And I'm just like, yes, that's it. And that's the beauty of God speaking to his people. Amen. We're going to close, and this is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to pray specifically. Of course, I say this like last night. If you're never going to come back to our conference, we're going to pray for you first, okay? I know some of you guys are going to go out of town. Some of you guys, this is a special night that you're here. And if you're not going to come back, we want to minister to you and want to pray for you. And so we're just going to empty out these first couple rows, right? Just really simple. Go grab a tape. Hold on to it, you know, and then when you come up, they're going to minister in groups of two. So two at a time and just come in. And we'll just let the evening go that way, okay? And, you know, and first of all, I want you guys to pray for Pastor Park, okay? So, you know, Moksan, you're number one, okay? As always, right? So Moksam's going to go first, and then the rest of you, if you guys are not going to be here, you know, the rest of this time, then that's okay. Just come and just be ministered to, get prayed for, you know, and if you are going to be here and you really, so you come too, okay? So no worries. We're just opening the door today, all right? And I think specifically if you could pray for Mr. and Mrs. Chung today as well. All right, just a name in the front row, okay? So afterward, you know, during this time. So Moksanim and Mr. and Mrs. Chung, you know, if you guys can come back, just bring your twins, daughter, you guys too, okay? So we'll do the whole family affair today and stuff. And so I'm going to close in prayer, right? And then we're going to just start ministry. Maybe you can play something just on the guitar, just nice and mellow and soft. And we're going to start ministering to people. So Moksanim will go first and then the Chungs. And the rest of you guys that, you're not going to come or whatnot, just come to the sit in the first few rows. Right, and of course we want you to come back, but I know sometimes schedules and whatnot, and you just minister. Right, just a very nice, easy time of just God loving His children. Does that sound good? Let's pray for us. Let's just bless the rest of this evening. Father, we thank you, God, for loving us, God, and we thank you for, Lord, your grace, God, and Lord, none of this is possible without your grace. And Jesus, we just want to exalt you, God, in this place, and we thank you, God, for the wonderful gifts that you give, God. Lord, Paul wrote, God, that you descended and you ascended and you brought gifts to your children, a whole train of gifts, God. And so we want to honor your servants today, God. And Lord, I pray that you continually anoint them, Father God. We recognize, Lord, that they're your servants. And Father, and we are so blessed that they're here with us, God. So bless them even more right now, Father. And just watch over us and the rest of this night, God. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, so you can dismiss the fellowship, whatever. If you want to stick around, we're going to worship and stuff. So let's clear out the first few rows. If you want to receive prayer, just come and just have a seat. Relax, right? No pressure, no nothing. And Moksanim, please come. And the Chungs and Sangwan and, I'm not Sangwan, you can do the thing. Jain and Annie, can you translate when they're translating to Korean speakers? If you're Korean speaker, we'll have a translator right alongside as well, okay? So don't worry about that, okay?